Welcome to Another Day Above Ground, a show for, by, and about baby boomers. It's the podcast for people who have no idea how to download a podcast. And now, here's your host, Dale Irvin.
Hey, my fellow baby boomers, welcome to Another Day Above Ground. This is the podcast that's all about baby boomers, it's for baby boomers, and what's produced by baby boomers. Because we are the generation that really made a difference. We have gone from tune in, turn on, and drop out to binge watch Netflix until nap time. So that's what we want to talk about. And to do that, I need my boomer compatriots, first of all, from the great state of Indiana. Please welcome the Aristotle of comedy, Mr. Tim Slagle.
Hey, record cold is expected in Chicago. In fact, it's so cold I saw a candidate stuck to a campaign promise.
And the lilting laughter you hear belongs to Carolyn Strauss, coming to us from Denver, Colorado.
Hey, everybody, and happy birthday, Dale.
Ah, thanks. Yeah, today's my birthday, and, you know, I don't celebrate birthdays because I had nothing to do with it. You know, mothers should be celebrated on birthdays. They put out it. I just showed up, you know, and how often do you have a party just for showing up? I don't know, but thank you very much. I'm a proud boomer, and I hope to stick around for many years. But anybody have any interesting interactions recently? I'll start. I was doing a program down in Texas for a big medical company, and one of the speakers showed a clip from Caddyshack, and he looked down and he said, I assume everybody in the audience has seen this movie. Anybody not see it? And like about 15 millennials put their hands up. That's how old we are. There's people who actually haven't seen Caddyshack.
I noticed that Bohemian Rhapsody won last night for Rami Malek won the Screen Actors Guild Award last night for Best Performance. He played Freddie Mercury. And I have friends whose kids didn't know that Queen was an actual band. Yeah.
Wow.
Just another Spinal Tap. There's no way that could have been real.
I didn't know Freddie Mercury was an actual person.
Well, he's in retrograde.
Well, you know, one of the things that they say when you are a baby boomer and you start to reach retirement age is, you know, what you gonna do now? You know, you retired. What are you going to do to try and keep your interest? And they say that, you know, baby boomers are trying to fit in hobbies. One of them is hitting the gym. And to me, that doesn't seem like a hobby. A hobby is something that involves small plastic parts and glue that smells nice, you know?
I'm actually working on a beer can collection, but I'm going for quantity over quality.
And if you smash them down, you can collect more in the same space. So, you know, and then you get tired of collecting them and you sell them for scrap. But
well, and then there's hitting the gym, what, with your car? Because you're not paying attention where you're driving.
Well, you do that, don't you? You go to yoga or something?
I do. I go pretty much every day that I'm not on an airplane, even when I'm traveling. I go to work out every day. So for me, it is definitely not a hobby. It's a habit because I don't feel well when I don't. So I think, but hey, they do say that exercise is the way to not die. So keep it moving.
Well, Tim and I both consider drinking beer to be more of a hobby, not a habit. But Then they say volunteer your time and doing something. And I really don't know anything, you know, where I would be a good role model. You know, they don't have apprentices at the bar. You just show up and start. You know, there's nobody to teach you how to do it.
People tell me that I volunteer too much information. So I guess I do volunteer when I'm drinking beer.
Do you volunteer anything, Carolyn? Do any volunteer work?
I don't don't do like the regular volunteer work, but I'll speak at like Dress for Success is one of the organizations I do some work with. So I volunteer to coach the women who've gone through the program and inspire them to go out and live a life and let their past not determine their future. I mean, that kind of thing, but not, I don't do like the regular food pantry thing or petting puppies. Cause I can't, it makes me too sad.
Go to the food pantry and just pet the people as they eat.
That I do. Petting people does not upset me as much as petting abandoned puppies. I'm good with that.
And then they said one of the things in this article listed as a hobby, over 50 dating. Now, Carolyn, this is you. You're the only one of us who is dating. And is it harder than it was before?
Yes, because men, if you're a boomer man and you're going on one of those dating sites, like let's say Our Time, which is for people over 50. So it's the dating site for people over 50. Don't take a picture in your bathroom mirror before you've shaved and brushed your teeth. I mean, these pictures of men are just scary. And we look at the picture first. I mean, go get a professional headshot. For anybody in business, in life, especially in online dating, go get a professional headshot because it's just terrifying.
Or just go online, you know, and get a picture of somebody else.
I was watching.
That happens a lot.
I'm sorry, Tim. Go ahead.
I was watching American Splendor. And it's one of my favorite scenes is Harvey Pekar. I don't know if you know who that
yeah.
is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Basically, he's bringing a girl home for the very first time, and his place is just a dump. And he said, you know, I was going to clean it up, but that kind of seemed dishonest. This is the real me.
and that's him, too.
I think that's why those guys do that, Carolyn. They said, you know, I'm too old to put it on a front. This is what you're going to, if you're going to go out with me, this is what you're going to see most of the time.
But I don't need to see it the first time. Okay, it's all about making a good first impression.
Yeah, you see, but you're looking at it on a curve. You're saying, well, okay, well, if that's the way they look when to start with, what happens? What happens Saturday morning?
Yeah, if it gets worse than this, oh my God, it's not good. But yeah, so here's my advice for anybody who is doing the over 50 dating. Okay, look at people as the entertainment. Say yes. Go out once, and if it's not fun, say thanks, this was nice, and then move on. I say dating is like shoe shopping, right? You try on a bunch of pairs, and you finally get the ones that look best and are comfortable.
Well, there you go. Well, that'd be for women, I would say that.
Because
men, shoe shopping is, you got black? Good, I'll take them. You know? And
which is why it's so much easier for women to get a date, apparently. You're not that picky.
Are you black? That's all I want.
See, I'm so old now I can't participate in online dating. It has to be carbon dating. And that's the only... Well, there are some hobbies that people have in their retirement that they use to actually make money. And, you know, that's always a good thing because it was once told to me that the day you retire, that's the day you wonder about the price of everything, you know, and you no longer just buy something on the spur of the moment without thinking of the price. So some people are looking to extra ways to make money, one of which was listed, is mushroom hunting. And it never occurred to me that, you know, because there's good mushrooms and there's ones that will kill you. And these people go out hunting for I guess, good mushrooms.
There's also the kind of mushroom that makes the Grateful Dead sound good.
and you don't have to hunt for those. The guy brings them to you in a bag.
Did you know that the fear of mushrooms is called fungophobia?
Really? I believe that was also a wrestler with the WWF.
I thought that was the fear of bad foot hygiene.
That too.
I thought it was the fear of somebody hitting little pop flies to you. But
I saw a documentary once. Isn't it pigs who dig up mushrooms?
Truffles.
So don't you have to have a pig first?
No, truffles. Big truffles. Mushrooms you just spot. And they're either, you know, they're either real good, and you sell those, if they're real good, for, I don't know, $10, $20, $40 a pound to grocery stores, or the ones that'll kill you, and you send those to, like, the mob. And, you know, they'll pay heavily for that, too, because it's...
And isn't another one of the hobbies to make money gardening? And isn't gardening a way to get mushrooms if you don't tend the garden? Can't you kill two hobbies with one stone?
It's also the way that you can grow Congress people. You just keep them in the dark and feed them bullshit. And, you know, it's the same thing. And then one of them is soap making, and that seems to be an odd hobby. Although one of our friends, Wendy Keller, who is a literary agent and will be on the show in the upcoming episodes to teach baby boomers what they need to do if they want to write a book. But her hobby now is soap making, and she just makes all different kinds and all different colors. And she was telling me she gave one to a friend of hers, and it was a dark blue or a black soap or something. Anyhow, she forgot to put into the recipe the thing that doesn't make it permanent. And
Sharpie soaps.
The poor bastard went in the shower and came out looking like a Smurf.
I sent away for a bar of that when I back when I had to collect some comic books.
Yes,
when
yes.
I was a kid, they actually sold that in the back of comic books.
And that was also right next to the X-ray specs and the hot pupper gum, I believe. Yeah.
But you know, soap making is a great hobby too if you've got if you have another hobby of serial killing. It's kind of two birds with one bar of soap.
Oh, and then they have shopping is a hobby to make money. I don't know how you make money by shopping, but they say it's all about trying to get all of these Ebates and coupons and stuff. You're still spending money, you know, no matter how many coupons you have.
I'm guessing I'm guessing that article was written by a woman.
Because undoubtedly.
Because they're the only ones that think that you can actually save $500 by spending a couple thousand.
How true that is. How true that is. Well, one of our categories that we like to touch on from now and again are the differences between us and those little punk kids growing up today called millennials. And we call it Get Off Our Lawn, because they really irritate us. And I've delved deeply into this and found, what they like to do is so much different than what we like to do. For instance, you know, for millennials, it says they like the latest technology, which is good. You know, we still prefer telephones that have cords on them, and they like comic books, music, and we like things like gambling, which I get. Millennials don't gamble, I guess.
Oh yeah, they do. They count on Social Security being there. It just depends on how you define gambling.
And baby boomers prefer bird watching, which I've never really done that. I mean, when I go too slow on the highway and they pass me, I see a few. But, you know, people flipping the bird. But other than that, I've never really gotten a kick out of watching them.
I actually think bird watching is a just an excuse to walk through the neighborhood with binoculars.
And baby boomers like to do Sudoku or whatever the hell those puzzles are that were invented by the Japanese to taunt us that they're better at math than we are.
Can you guys do those?
My wife does them. I can't. I stick to crossword puzzles. I'm more of a written word kind of guy.
I can't see it. I must have this blind spot in my head. I have tried it like 20 times. People have given me those and said, oh, try this. No, I can't do it. I can't see it. I can't make the things add up. I'm a crossword puzzle and a Scrabble person too. So yeah, for those of you who can do Sudoku, good for you. And it takes hours of your time. I did notice, though, that most of the millennial things, like the technology and the fantasy sports and the video games, so much of it is solo endeavors. Like, ours are more live theater and going to the beach and listening to classical music and opera, which could be either alone or with people. But it seems like they're doing more stuff isolated.
Well, then the market would be there for some place to get them together, I guess. I don't know what that would be, but if you're a baby boomer and you've got, I don't know, a lot of video games, you could have the kids over and act as a matchmaker. I have no idea, and quite honestly, I really don't give a crap. You know,
the video games meet other people on the video game. They actually talk to people on the. They don't play the video games alone. They play it virtually.
Exactly.
Okay. Quick story. I was at a friend's house a couple years ago for a holiday dinner, and her son is in his 30s, and he said, I have to go because I've got some people waiting for me downstairs. He was hanging out in his parents' downstairs. And I said, oh, you have people over? And he said, no, I have people waiting for me on the game. And I said, well, can I come meet them? And he said, no, I'm playing a game with them. And I said, well, I like to play games. Can I play too? And he said, no, it's on the computer. I said, hold on. You have a live woman who really cares about you, who wants to hang out with you for the next few hours, and you're going to leave me to go sit alone in your basement. And he said, yeah, I promised them I'd be there. That was like a shocking conversation to me.
Well, he made a promise, you know, so.
To people he never met. And I'm sitting right there. I'm like, can we go to a movie? He said, no, I got to go play with my friends.
And like, they're probably not even real. They're probably just algorithms.
Yep.
And who was this that you were doing this with?
My friend's son.
Wow.
I'm not using his name because I still love him, but it was my friend's son.
Wow, that's where we are, folks. That's where we are. Yep. And that's one of the things that's facing and bothering baby boomers, because we got trouble right here in Boomer City. And one of the problems that we have is that we are expected to live longer than previous generations. You know, what do people really want of us? Sure, we're living longer than people in the 17th century, but, you know, that's because we got rid of things like smallpox. But, we worry about what people... And then some of us have to take care of our aging parents. So, that's a big thing. And, of course, we're all experiencing some sort of health issues. You know, you wake up in the morning and something hurts. And I got to thinking the other day, you know what this show needs? We need a health expert. So what we have done is we have procured at great expensive cost to us our own medical expert for this show, Dr. Bill Miller, who is not only a medical expert, he's a stand-up comedian. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing good. How you doing? Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, we're very happy to have you because, as you know, it's all about baby boomers, and the one thing we all have in common is we're getting sick, and we need to know.
I don't know if we're getting sick so much as we are sick and just getting older.
Yeah, we're just as sick now. We complain about it more.
Well, it's true because I think that ours is the smartest generation, or at least the ones that are left, because all the dumb ones, they fell by the wayside trying to fly in that Superman costume when we were young.
So now we're stuck in a little bigger Superman costume because we need room for our adult diaper. And
getting the tights on is tough, isn't it, Dale?
So we're trying to figure out what we need to do. Do you have any overall, we'll start off with any overall tips on what baby boomers should do? Should we take vitamins? Should we exercise more? Should we drink more, beer and stuff? I'm hoping you say that.
I really put me on a spot. I mean, the only thing I know to do to live long is just don't die and... Pick old parents. I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, if your parents are old, chances are you're going to be old too. And just don't die. You know, don't do stupid stuff. Don't cross the street, against the light. I mean, that's at our age.
There you go. You're not going to get this kind of information from Dr. Oz. I'll tell you that, man. This is really hardcore stuff.
Yeah, well, first of all, Doctor, don't get me started on him. This guy, anything, any gimmick that I'm sure they're giving him a couple of dollars, and to promote this stuff, But I tried Golgi berries. Nothing happened. And he talks about that all the time. I've been goji burying my butt off, and nothing happened.
I think you're supposed to eat them.
Oh. I'm sorry. I feel a little like Jerry Lewis now. I'm so sorry.
Well, you know, and they tell us all this stuff that we're supposed to do to live longer. But, you know, but we wound up what? We wound up forgetting where we live and wearing diapers. And is it really worthwhile living longer?
Right. I don't think so. I don't think so.
Don't you tell your patients to opt out? Is there an opt-out button?
No, I don't, because television has really portrayed doctors erroneously. I mean, you know, yeah, we know a lot of stuff about healthcare and disease processes and possible cures and treatments and all that, but certain questions we just don't know the answer to. I'll give you an example. Sometimes you have to tell people they have a terminal condition. They only have so much time left. And the guy says to the guy, I'm sorry, you only have, 8 months. And he goes, oh, my God, doc, what do I do? And I said, I don't know what you do. I'll tell you what you don't do. You don't nap. I say, I'll give you a prescription for Adderall. You try and stay awake for the rest of this time.
The other thing is pay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I don't know what the answer. I don't know what you do to live longer. You know, you try and exercise. You eat the right foods. You don't eat, fatty foods late at night. You don't smoke. You don't, don't drink to excess. Don't do anything to excess. And the key is, if you have a moderation switch in you and you haven't burned it out, you'll be okay. But you got to, you got to do commonsensical things. You got to, exercise a little bit. And that doesn't mean go to the gym and pump iron. If you walk briskly for, 3-4 days a week, 20 minutes at a time, you'll be fine.
Started exercising I have to go to the bathroom a lot, but I only go to my neighbor's bathroom. And,
that's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah, that's about 100 yards away, and that's a good walk.
You walk briskly to there, and you do that by your age 4 or 5 times a day, especially if your prostate's bad. You got it covered.
Exactly.
I got a question, doctor. You've practiced both comedy and medicine. Where is it easier to kill?
Oh, in the hospital, of course. you just forget to turn the oxygen switch on. That's it. You're done. How'd you do, Bill? I killed another one.
How'd you do last night, doctor? Oh, I killed. Oh, that's great. What club? No, hospital.
No. Room 712. But the joy you get when you kill in a comedy club is, of course, better. Because you don't have all that legal ramification of and malpractice. And you got to get a lawyer involved and all that. I mean, it could be messy.
Far less paperwork. Yeah, better off to do it.
Yeah, exactly right.
So I have a
Much
question.
Less paperwork.
I have a question, yeah. Dr. Bill. So when I was growing up, I heard that laughter is the best medicine. And given that you're a comic, is it laughter or is it Lipitor?
Oh, no. God, I think in the 70s it could have been Quaaludes, but... I think Lipitor is a close second. I think laughter is the best medicine because, Norman Cousins, everyone talks about that book, and other people laugh themselves to health. You know, when you laugh, your body releases endorphins. And I think that a lot of diseases and maladies now are autoimmune, or the immune system where that attacks your body and causes the problem, or your immune system kind of lets its guard down and doesn't do what it's supposed to do. And that's all the way true for many cancers, because there's been documented cases of somebody riddled with cancer, and all of a sudden the immune system wakes up and kills it. you know, not to be a serious note, but there's work being done now for brain tumors, these glioblastomas that are deadly. And what they do is they put a polio virus in there, and the virus attacks the tumor in the brain. And the body, because it was previously vaccinated against polio, sees that tumor as polio cells and kills the tumor. I mean, like, truly miraculous stuff. Not very funny, but miraculous.
So we should let the caravan come across, because apparently they all have polio, so it's all good, right?
Yeah, you know, but the ones that have polio aren't moving as fast as the other ones, so we have to keep the gate open until they get across. I'm sure I'm going to be written up on that. How insensitive are you? Yeah, I guess so.
Well, that's okay. No one listens to this podcast anyway, so you're pretty.
This is a guy from the government. Well, one more question for you, sir. Or actually, we have time for a couple more questions. But what do you do? You know, all of a sudden, you get to a certain age where you just have to get up and pee several times at night. And why is that? Yeah. You know, an all nighter now has taken a completely different meaning.
Yeah. Well.
You know, Dale, that's the second question that you've had about urination. I think you're giving away something.
It's a big part of my day.
Well, you know, actually, it's a big part of your night. Is what it is. It's not a big part of your day. This day is not a big issue. It's at night.
And also, when Superman comes closer to retirement, wouldn't he be wearing the diapers on the outside of his tights?
Well, he does. He does.
Oh, that
the red diaper.
So getting up three times a night is not what it used to be, which is so sad, Dale.
That's right. All night long, forget about it. He was up all night long.
Hey, Bill, if our listeners want to see you, where can they see you perform your comedy?
Well, I'm going to be February 6th and 7th. I'm going to be at Zany's at Rosemont. And then
That's in Chicago.
Well, no, that's in Rosemont.
It's in Rosemont, but you know, people aren't going to find that on a map.
It's outside O'Hare Airport.
And then I think, let me check. And then I'm going to be downtown Chicago on February 18th. And then I'm going to be in St. Charles the 7th, 8th, and 9th of March. And then I'm going to be at Rosemont again on March 20th and the city downtown on the 27th. You got all that? I'll go through it again.
So if I'm
I'd love to see you.
So if I'm a patient of yours, I have to just go to these comedy clubs and see you? I don't get it.
You know... I got to be honest. I talk about certain things, and you know, with a little bit of irreverent nature, and I'm not like a Marcus Welby kind of doctor, if you know what I'm talking about. So I came into the emergency room once, and I opened the door, and I picked up the chart, and I saw this patient. I said, "Hi, I'm Dr. Miller. What brings you to the hospital?" He looked at me, and he said, "Hell no!" And he got up and left.
Wow.
He had seen me perform in the recent past and just got up and left. He didn't sign anything. He didn't tell me what. He just said, "Hell no," and left. And I was like, okay. That's good. A little bit of paperwork to do, but.
Well, congratulations.
I never forgot that.
Congratulations. You are now our official medical representative on Another Day Above Ground. Whenever we have a medical question, we will call you up and we invite all of our listeners. If you've got a medical question that's bothering you, aside from going to the bathroom, Bill can answer them all. So thank you very much for joining us, Dr. Bill Miller.
Thank you very much for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, thanks for being with us, my friends. Be with us next week and every week, because you're a baby boomer, and quite honestly, what else have you got to do? So we're going to keep on top of all things Boomer, because every day is another day above ground. See you later.
And that's it for another day above ground. For Dale, Tim, and Carolyn, I'm Farad Muhammad. Thanks for listening.